Welcome to episode 49 of the Princeton Podcast, produced by the podcast production team at HG Media, providing audio and video production services here in Princeton since 1999. In this episode, our Princeton Podcast host, Mayor Mark Frieda, welcomed Rebecca Franco-Martin, Executive Director of People and Stories, a nonprofit organization dedicated to introducing literature to new audiences through oral readings and discussions of enduring short stories. Rebecca described the various People and Stories programs developed to reach youth, adults, and seniors in diverse social service agencies, including residential treatment facilities, prisons, homeless shelters, adult education programs, and libraries on a local, regional, and national level. So without any further introduction, let's join our host, Mark Frieda, and his guest, Rebecca Franco-Martin, for episode 49 of the Princeton Podcast.
Rebecca, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk more about People and Stories today.
Terrific. So let's start off with me asking you, what is the mission of People and Stories?
So People and Stories, Gente y Cuentos, is dedicated to opening doors to literature for new audiences. We do this by listening to meaningful literary short stories in the community, and it's with others rather than being isolated. And then it's followed by guided discussion, and we use a 50-year plus trademarked methodology, and listeners are enlightened and transformed, and it's actually been called magical, and I feel like it is. You'll have to come and try one of our next try-its. So
that's a deal. Happy to.
Thank you.
So let's get into a little more. So how does People and Stories go about fulfilling that mission? How do you actually do that?
So we have a lot of different partnerships, and in building those partnerships, we go out and we have coordinators who go out and present the programs, and they're making sure that everyone can enjoy literature. This means sharing stories full of emotion and meaning that are capable of profoundly impacting lives. Unfortunately, literary access often mirrors entrenched social hierarchies, so introducing new audiences to enduring literature, we just aim to deepen understanding of life, and as you know, it broadens perspectives, right, when you have access to literature. So that's where we come in. We just want to open up that world to those who haven't had access or opportunity and help them see life from different angles. And then when people do dive into these deep stories, it's not about reading. It's really about talking about the stories together and then unlocking just a new level of confidence and enhancing a sense of agency and empowerment through transformative literature.
Yeah. So who's the target audience? Who are you trying to get when you go out?
So we really seek to reach youth, adults, seniors, diverse social service agencies, residential treatment facilities, prisons, so incarcerated, formerly incarcerated, homeless shelters. We've been in libraries, senior centers, alternative schools, and this is on local, regional, and national levels. So, and when I'm talking about youth, it's really 14 and up. So making sure that who we're accessing, obviously, you're able to work with us and enjoy the program. A little younger than 14 might be too young. So,
yeah, got that.
The individuals we serve are usually at a fifth grade reading level or below, and so have not completed high school, maybe economically disadvantaged. And it's really a critical bridge that People and Stories, Gente y Cuentos, provides, and hope that we're enhancing skills for people to move forward in their lives. But we've just started something new, and that is fee-for-service programs. So it's really for wellness, if you will. So it's kind of a different arm, and that's for corporate or other businesses who want to provide some sort of special benefit to their employees. We'll be heading to the Bronx in fact next month, and we're going to provide an 8-week program for caregivers, and their employer wants to help them stem burnout and to build camaraderie among employees, and they feel that our program can work to achieve that goal.
So that's great.
So, yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
It is. Something new for us. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. So that makes me think of, so where do you operate? It sounds like you could operate in a whole bunch of places.
So we have physical offices that are actually in the Lawrence Township Community Center, but we meet our participants where they are. So whether they're incarcerated, at drug treatment centers, as I mentioned before, but we do go out to partner organizations, other nonprofits. So we've been to places like the Father Center, Manos House in PA. The place that we're going to in the Bronx is Den Elise. So just all over, wherever we create that partnership and have like libraries, when they want us to come out, we go there, and just all across New Jersey. We have some sites also in PA and again, New York City. So we're building.
There you go. Wow. So let's talk about the different program models that you have. And hopefully I've got these correctly, but I think the first I'd like to ask you about, you have something called the Classic Program. Could you explain that?
So the Classic People and Stories is essentially the same at all sites. You have approximately 15 to 20 adults or young adults. They gather around a table and sit in a circle or whatever, however the setup is in that organization, but you really want to be close in your group. It's a 90-minute session. It's to hear and discuss short stories in English or in Spanish. Each program, a trained coordinator reads aloud a literary short story. And the reading cuts across various reading levels in the group and creates an atmosphere of shared experience. So following the reading, the coordinator facilitates a vibrant discussion on the poetics, the tensions, the contrast, ambiguities, and the issues found within the text. And that from that, the participants draw upon their experience and the acquired knowledge to discuss these stories, and then discovering that their life experiences have prepared them to understand and examine complex literary art. But also, when you sit with a group and you're doing this, it's, oh, wow, this happened to me, or I've had something similar. So no matter where you're coming from, you have those connections.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that really opens up quite a bit for somebody to be exposed to this.
It does. And that's why we say it's magical.
There you go.
Yeah.
Then I think you also have another program called Crossing Borders with Literature. That's another model that you have?
Yes. So the Crossing Borders is to promote a deeper understanding across communities. So using literature as an opportunity to stimulate dialogue in groups that cross urban and suburban boundaries. Suburban volunteers called participants join the session at partner agencies and participate equally with other group members. And coordinators conduct these programs also in Spanish or English, and it's similar. It's the reading and discussion, and it's having that opportunity to discover common threads, whether you're from an urban area or a suburban area. This has been done with gangs and brought some understanding of each side and reduced some of the violence using this methodology. So the participants discover their common threads and bringing ethnic, racial, socioeconomic gaps within and between municipalities together. That's the goal of this. So it's amazing that it works that way.
I was just about to use the same word. I was just about to use the word amazing.
Yeah.
That really is.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. There's another model I believe you have too called Writing Our Stories. How about that?
Yes.
One?
So again, English and Spanish, English or Spanish, I should say, not and. It includes an additional writing component to our classic model, and it extends the series. So instead of 8 weeks, like the classic or the Crossing Borders, it will be 10 weeks. And the participants respond to a writing prompt at the end. So at the end of the series, they receive an anthology of the group's writing. Published guest authors will visit during two of the sessions. Many of these programs to read their work, assist participants with the writing process. They answer participant questions. And the writing can be based on prompts given by the coordinator, or they stem from coordinator topics that participants chose. It's not unusual for a quiet participant in the discussion to use the writing component as a chance to release their thoughts and feelings that are triggered by the story and discussion. So after writing, participants volunteer to read their pieces, and it's not an obligation. Obviously, they volunteer, but it does allow participants to reflect on their lives and in light of what they have read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes when, I don't know, not everyone does it, but journaling, they say, is cathartic for people. Right. So, again, right. This is just in a group where you can kind of have that shared experience.
Yeah. So if I'm interested in getting involved with People and Stories after listening to this today, what options do I have to help, and you know, how can I reach out to volunteer, to donate?
So we have various ways for people to get involved, and Spanish or English, we love to have people that are able to speak Spanish as well. That's helpful for us. Virtually or in person, people can volunteer. So the first way would be to become a facilitator. So there's nothing like facilitating a People and Stories group. If you're a good listener, you love literature, the idea of bringing people together, then you should consider becoming a facilitator. And what you need to do for that is we have two-day intensive training several times a year. The time commitment is flexible. So we offer generous stipends, including travel costs that are provided. And our next coordinator training is actually in May at our Lawrenceville site. The other way to get involved is to host a session. So if your organization, corporation, institution, if you feel that they could benefit or the people that you're serving could benefit from People and Stories, Gente Cuentos Magic, our programs are a great way to bring people together, build camaraderie, self-awareness, empathy, creative thinking. So that's another way. And then we also have triads, which I invited you to come to. So those you can participate either in English or Spanish. People and Stories, Gente Cuentos Session. We offer frequent triads, virtual in-person formats, and those are done year-round. So you can experience the magic of our method. And one of the first steps in discovering if you'd like to become a facilitator or a coordinator, the triads invite you to attend one of our sessions. You talk about it, you change your mind. The next triad session is actually Sunday, February 25th, which is this Sunday. So by the time the podcast airs, yeah. You'll have to check our website. That's it. Our triad sessions are typically held at our Lawrence Township Community Center. We have a conference room there, and that's at 295 Eggers Crossing Road. So how would you like to get involved? Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website via peopleandstories.org. And on our website is our phone number. There's also a form you can fill out to ask a question. You can donate, you can sign up or find out more information about the sessions I was talking about for facilitating and attending triads.
Yeah, I will comment because I did look at the website, and yep. It's a very good website, and there's so much information on there. I mean, it's really interesting. I actually enjoyed going through the website and doing a little research to help me with the questions for today. But, you know, I was reading stuff and I said, well, I'm just going to keep reading all that's here. So anyway.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the praise. That is not me. That is our deputy director, Deborah Lampert Rudman. She is amazing. She really did a lot of work on the website and it does look fantastic.
Yeah. Very, very nicely done. You talked a little about this, but let me just ask a little more. So what events could I or anyone interested in supporting you, you know, what other events, how do we attend or what events should we attend to support you?
So the triads for sure. The triads are really a way to better understand our organization and how our programming works and how it impacts people. So I would really suggest that. We do have others coming up in the next few months. So that's on our website. But first and foremost, what I really, really want to encourage people to visit our website and take a look is our annual benefit. That is coming up March 17th. It's at 2 p.m. We would love to join you, love for you to join us for an afternoon of readings and conversation. It'll be with Melissa Cosacchino, Denise Froman, and Luis Mora Ballesteros. The event's going to be moderated by Nora Munez in the McKay Lounge at the Princeton Theological Seminary in Princeton. And we'll also be having an interesting dessert reception to follow. So
there you go.
Food and author talk. Wonderful. So the proceeds do support our program, though. And there are other sponsorship opportunities, and tickets for this event are available. But I really encourage people to do that and helping by donating through our site at any time. Right. I mean, we just had our annual appeal, and now we have the benefit, but we welcome sponsors at any time.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So I think you recently joined People in Stories, and how's that going?
So it's been amazing. So I started at the end of September, and it's been a wonderful experience all around. I mean, honestly, our deputy director, who I mentioned, was so welcoming and supportive when I came on during my initial onboarding. And it was a little bit of change in career for me because I came from the library world and am now executive director at a nonprofit. But it's been really fantastic. And I've had the opportunity to attend triads and to meet our coordinators. So there was also a reception that was held for me to meet and spend time getting to know our long-term donors, our board of trustees. Deborah also organized a meeting with our program coordinators. And it's just been a lot of fun. It's a great group of really dedicated, enthusiastic people who are behind People in Stories. So I feel very fortunate to be in the role that I'm in right now.
That's great. Yeah. That's good to hear. So you just gave us a hint about what you were doing prior to this. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about it, because I think you have an interesting background, so it'd be great for people to hear about that.
So I was formerly the director of the Trenton Free Public Library, and prior to that, I was a managing librarian for one of the branches at the New York Public Library. So my background is in literature and books. So, and also partnering with community organizations. And so I have a strong background working with nonprofits because of coming from the library. But this is a bit different. It's it's a more intimate, closer, you're working much closer with the community and not having to do all the day-to-day administrative as much. So yeah. It's a little bit of a change.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good change.
And then I also volunteer with an organization in Trenton called The Block, and they're working to address social issues in Trenton. So I'm very passionate about that, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great to hear. So let me ask you another question about yourself.
Sure.
Where are you from? Are you from this area or somewhere else? Or?
So I've actually lived here for a little over 30 years, okay. But I live in Allentown right now in New Jersey. I always say New Jersey because people always,
right.
PA,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I was born and raised in Orange County in New York, about an hour north of New York City on the Hudson River. So once a New Yorker, always a New Yorker. But I've actually been in New Jersey longer than I ever lived in New York. So
that's interesting. Good. So back to People in Stories. You work with community partners.
Yes.
Do you want to talk more about them or how they help out? Or
absolutely. So we have a significant number of community partners that we work with. And like I said, they're across New Jersey. Several in Pennsylvania. We have some in New York City, but our partners are really crucial to the success of our programs, all of our programs. We have nearly 60 of them a year, which is a lot when you're talking about 8 to 10 weeks per program and the relationships that we're trying to build and whatnot. And our programs are held on site at these locations. So our partners are opening up, allowing us to come in and have our coordinators come in and provide these services. And so those relationships are so important to us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So what else? Anything on the horizon coming up that we should know about, or sneak preview of anything? Or
so we do. We have more sites that do want our programs, and more sites than we have coordinators, actually. So that's one of the things we've been working on, is training new coordinators with wonderful assistance from a grant that we received from the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. And in May and October of this year, that's when we'll be hosting these two-day intensives for new facilitators, new coordinators. And then, of course, our upcoming benefit is really first and foremost on our minds right now,
sure,
which will be March 17th. And that helps us in achieving many of our goals, this fundraising. So, but we also want you to watch for fun edutainment programs that are going to help us build awareness throughout the coming year. So the deputy director and I are working on a couple of things, which will be popping up on our website, and it'll be another opportunity to really come and engage with us and learn more about people and stories, and to help sponsor us and to help us grow and to meet the needs of our community partners. So.
Right. Okay. So not that you, some of what you said is like sparked a couple other things in my my mind. So how do you pick the literature that you use during these programs?
That is a great question. So we actually have a portal that holds hundreds or more of different short stories that have been chosen by a bibliography committee. Or suggested by our coordinators, and then the bibliography committee takes a look at those, and then they're entered in there. It takes a lot of reading. You have to read a lot of short stories, and how do you feel an audience would react, and are we making sure that we have a diverse selection, because mm-hmm. you want something, not everyone has, obviously, you know, if yeah. you're a reader, not everyone has the same interest. So you want to make sure that we have classics, we have modern, we have Spanish authors, American authors, African authors. So it just is bringing a really eclectic collection, and really the coordinators go through and they choose their stories when they're going out to do a program. So it's something that they feel resonates with them, and then they feel strongly about that story in that way that they're able to bring that out from the participants that they're working with during a program.
Oh, that's a great model, right? Because if
yes.
I'm interested in what I'm talking about, it's going to be a better experience for everybody.
Exactly. And then of course, if it's an 8-week session, you need 8 stories. If it's a 10-week session, you need 10 stories. So you want to mix it up, right? So everybody has a chance to maybe feel something about the literature you're reading too, because the first week it may not be a story that I enjoy, but you might. So right. Yeah.
So if I'm a facilitator,
yes.
Do I stay with, like, so if you have an 8-week program, am I showing up each of those 8 weeks, or do facilitators? I'm just trying to think.
If
want to volunteer to be a facilitator, like what is, I'm trying to get more, what is the time commitment? Sorry, a long way to ask
that
question.
No, that's okay. So that is a good question too, because if you are a facilitator, you have flexibility, but if you commit to say an 8-week classic session, right, you're committing to that 8 weeks
yep.
because you need that continuity. The flow is not the same if you change the coordinator every week,
sure.
right? So you're trying to build trust with the people that you're working with, and you want the people to be engaged. So the coordinators definitely, they follow through the entire 8 weeks. And that's brings up another interesting piece of this is that, okay, say we have done programs at the Princeton Public Library. So if we're doing a program at that library, so to say, then you also really want to encourage the group of participants to come every week.
Yeah.
And I mean, we would never say, no, don't bring someone next week. But you really want that group, because the whole point is to bring the group together and create understanding. And the longer you're with someone and mm-hmm. working with someone, the more likely you are to open up and to engage with that group. So
yeah, and I would think for the facilitator to be with the 8-week program, the full time, it's got to be much more rewarding because you get to see what happens over time, how the people get more involved in the program, how they enjoy it, how they react to it, how they react to each other.
Well, and that's something that happens too. After the sessions, there are evaluations sent in by the coordinators, and it's just sometimes they'll have quotes, and we get some amazing quotes. I should have brought some today. I didn't think about that, but there are things like our seniors say, it's the reason they wake up in the morning because they might be in a senior home and they don't have a lot of interaction. So for them, yes, I mean, they are happy to have this group and to be engaging with people. Or we've had some of our partner sites who are, this is so fantastic. We've seen our clients grow and have a better understanding of one another, and they're more amenable to moving forward with maybe some process in their treatment or something of that nature. So
yeah,
it's amazing what can happen just from reading a short story.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's interesting because, I mean, I love to read.
So yes, me too.
So giving people that opportunity, if they don't really haven't had it before, you can get so much out of reading. So it's...
Well, and that's why the story is read aloud by the coordinator. And coordinator, facilitator, we go back and forth. It's the same person.
Same person.
But they're reading aloud because, I mean, when we're working with people, if you're at a fifth grade reading level or below, you might struggle.
Yeah.
There are people who struggle with reading for other reasons. So you're able to enjoy that and just sit and relax. And even for someone who reads, sometimes having someone read aloud, you don't have to think about it. You can just really process what the story means.
Yeah.
So that's part of the methodology.
Yeah. All right. So let's just remind people one more time about your event coming up in March.
So that is our annual benefit. It's Notable Words, Palabras Notables. And that is March 17th at 2 p.m. And that is here at the Theological Seminary. But you can find out more information on our website, which is peopleandstories.org. And our phone number is there too. Our emails, call us, email us. We love to provide more information about anything.
And ways to donate on that website.
Yes, of course.
I did notice that.
Yes.
Rebecca, I want to thank you very much. This has been really interesting to learn more about people and stories. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here. I am so happy to have had this opportunity, and I hope we hear from some people in your audience and we can share more information with them.
Thank you for joining us for the 49th episode of the Princeton Podcast, produced by the podcast production team at HG Media, providing audio and video production services here in Princeton since 1999. If you enjoyed this episode of the Princeton Podcast, please share it with your friends. Visit our website at princetonpodcast.com. And be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts.